I remember driving in Western New South Wales during the locust plague. It just was not worth washing your car because even a trip around the block had your vehicle looking like a crime scene with insects, the poor victims. So as you drive around today, do you think you're seeing less bugs meet their untimely demise on your crystal clear windscreen or epic bumper? Let's talk about this with Manu Saunders from the University of New England. Manu, good morning.
Good morning.
Windscreen phenomenon. What is this?
Yes, it's a much talked about phenomenon. So it's basically this idea that people think that if they're seeing less bugs on their windscreen now than compared to some point in history, that is therefore evidence of insect declines. And people are sharing these anecdotes and saying that this is, I used to drive to such and such a place in the 80s or whatever, and when I drove there now, I didn't get any bugs on my windscreen, therefore all the insects are declining. So it's this weird kind of interaction between this anecdote and a phenomenon that many of us might or might not notice, that we're then kind of extrapolating out to this extreme of evidence for something that may or may not be happening.
It's almost driven by the fact that we all would love to be citizen scientists. We all want to have our finger on the pulse. We want to help out when it comes to the scientific world. But what's wrong with this as a bit of a theory?
There's a lot of reasons why it's not a fact. So, like, sure, it may be happening in some places and some people might actually have less insects on their windscreen. But if we unpack it as a type of scientific evidence for, a particular thing that we're trying to prove, i.e. insect declines, it really doesn't stack up. And there are a lot of reasons why you may not be seeing as many insects on a particular day this year compared to even last year or 20 years ago or so on and so forth.
We'll definitely go through some of those reasons that we may know of, but have there been studies on this phenomenon that have tried to prove it as good or bad or right or wrong?
No, that's another aspect of this, that there's actually no study. As far as I know, there's no published studies that have actually tested this. And of course, we'll go through some of the reasons why, but it's actually really hard to prove for many, many reasons. So there's one study that was done in Germany a few years ago where the author actually used a car to measure insect biomass. He wasn't specifically testing the windscreen effect. He just used a car to drive along roads and over 10 years or something like that and counted the bug splatters on the windscreen and whatever. So that was one localized particular instance, and the findings were not, we're not quite sure exactly what was going on there. So as far as a global thing and whether this is actually happening everywhere, there is no evidence of it.
All right, well, let's start with some of those reasons. I feel like we should start with the roads. Is that a good place to start as one of the reasons why this may not be an effective measure of how the insects are going?
Yeah, so this is, and roads are something that actually have been studied a lot more. So people have studied road effects on a wide variety of animals, not just insects. So there's a concept called edge effects in ecology, which essentially means that the edges of a particular habitat, so we're talking about, for example, where a forest meets a grassland or a crop field meets a woodland or something like that, and roads create edges in landscapes. Mm-hmm. So these edges essentially have an effect on populations of animals because they influence the way they move, whether they can get to the other side or what sort of resources are available and so on. So that is a well-known phenomenon in ecology. The issue is it's notoriously hard to test and there are no broad generalizations because every animal reacts slightly differently to edges. Some actually love edges because there's heaps more resources for them. Some will avoid edges. Some can't cross them. Some can cross them, etc. So it's very hard to test that. There's been quite a few studies that have looked at road effects on insects. Again, these have found hugely variable results from, some that show that there's no effect and some say that they kill more insects. The issue with roads is, as we all know, there's huge variation in the road type itself. So you've got, six-lane highways versus a little dirt track in a forest. you know, even just a bitumen country highway with two lanes. So it depends on the size of the road, how much traffic is frequently going along that road. What's the habitat on either side? Like, is it, you know, a road through a forest, a narrow road through a forest where it's not going to be too much of a barrier for something versus a huge highway that's cleared everything in its path? So we need to kind of think of all those different kind of characteristics of all these different roads to understand whether they're actually affecting things.
And even the characteristics of a road changes. Like, is it school drop-off? Is it peak hour? What time of day were you? So even just the time that you're on the road and what's going on around you in that time changes, you know, the road as a part of this research anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's like our street here in Armidale. It's like it's crickets for most of the week, but between, you know, say kind of 7:30 to 9, it's just going nuts, constant traffic.
All right, so that's the road. What about the car or the windscreen? Does that play a part as well?
So this is another really interesting thing, and we don't actually know because, again, no one's really tested this, but it's a fact, as we know, that cars are different now to how they were in the 70s. They're designed very differently. Windscreens were often sort of aligned more vertically back in the 50s, 60s, 70s than they are now. They slope a lot more. Cars have been designed to be more aerodynamic, specifically to have things roll up and over them instead of hitting them.
Yeah.
So that is an aspect of car design that no one has actually tested. It's quite hard to do. I mean, you'd have to get a whole bunch of old cars and a whole bunch of new cars and do a whole lot of replication and test how much splatter you're getting and all of that. I mean, it's an interesting study if anyone wants to do it.
It could be a great citizen science project.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so there are these aspects of car design, and there's been so many registered patents over time for, you know, devices and things to attach to your windscreens and your cars and whatever to prevent insect splatter. So all of these things could also be influencing the particular anecdote that someone's saying, oh, I've seen less insects.
Mm. What about the insects themselves, the victims? Where do they come into this, Manu?
So again, that's a lot of variation in the world, as we know. So, you know, insects obviously range in size from, you know, big giant dragonflies and moths and things to tiny little wasps that you will probably flying past you and you don't even know they're there. So again, we don't really know enough about how those different body sizes of insects actually, when they hit a car, what happens? Do they just get blown up and over, or do they splatter? There's been a little bit of work done on this, and obviously it seems logical that bigger insects will splatter more, etc. But we're not quite sure what happens with all those tiny little, you know, like fairy wasps and that sort of stuff. Like, it depends on the velocity of the car and the weather and the wind and all of that stuff, whether they actually splatter or whether they just blow to the side.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, there's people who are like, oh, I thought that anecdote was really good and I thought I was helping and I was observational about what's going on in our community. What does this say that we need to learn more about insects and how they live and how they interact with us and our roads?
Yeah, I think definitely I think understanding more about the huge variation in insects and their life cycles is a big gap that I think a lot of people you know, we don't teach that sort of stuff in schools and so on. So I think it's definitely opportunity for people to learn more about insects. I think it's also an issue of the process of science, and I think people understanding how we actually come to establish scientific evidence. So, you know, just one anecdote or one person seeing something happening on their car windscreen in their town is not evidence that a particular thing is actually true or valid or happening everywhere, sort of thing. So, to actually prove that less people were having less insects on their windscreen, we would have to have been doing this for years. We would have to have had, like, individuals driving the same road, you know, two or three times a year, every year for the last 10, 15 years or whatever, to actually show definitely, yes, I am seeing less insects on my windscreen now.
It's a process and it takes time before anyone can come out and say, this is exactly what's happening in the world.
Yes.
Manu, really great to chat with you about this morning. Thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Research Fellow of the School of Environmental and Rural Science at the University of New England, Manu Saunders there, our guest in Creepy But Curious.